looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
Famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And
hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just sent you guys a message on Twitter because I saw this video, like sponsored by Macy's video of Pia Mia, who I think you have talked about on the show before, doing a What's in My Bag. And it is just insane. There are a couple things that you would never guess, and I just really want to hear your guys' take on it. Anyway, crunch, crunch, bye.
At the 5 minute, 51 second mark of this 6 minute and 40 second long video, this happens.
The last thing in my bag is my tiny horse. I don't know if you can see him very well, but this reminds me of my little sister, Paloma. So it's our thing. Over the holidays, this SNL episode, we were watching it. It has Timothée Chalamet and he's singing about this tiny horse. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you should look it up. But anyway, so the whole tiny horse thing comes from that. And that's probably just the most weird, interesting, quirky thing that's in my bag.
One of the most interesting things that I've ever seen in a celebrity's bag.
Somebody had DM'd it to us too and was like, there's something weird in this video, and didn't say what it was. And so I literally went through the video, just scrolled through to see every single item. Like, I didn't even necessarily watch it, but I was like, okay, lipstick. Okay, blush. Okay, like hand sanitizer. Okay, keys.
A Peanuts calendar from Hallmark.
Like, okay, like a planner. I was trying to figure out what they meant by what was the weirdest thing. Like, if I was missing something. And then I got to the very end and I saw her pull out
the tiny horse.
A tiny horse.
50 cents, Amazon.
So cute.
I always forget who Pia Mia is.
I mean, I do too. She's a singer. Mm-hmm. Remember, she sang that cover of that Drake song, at Drake with the Kardashians or something.
Vaguely.
But the thing is, like, that's a moment. I don't actually know. I know she does pop music, but I just don't know. I haven't really been exposed to that of recent. I just know that moment, you know? I do know the other interesting thing about Pia Mia is, isn't she from Guam?
She's from Guam. I did know she's from Guam. Why did I know she's from Guam?
She's probably, like, one of the more famous people from Guam.
Yeah, there are only 7 people in entertainment listed in the Wikipedia for list of notable people from Guam. And she's one of the 7.
Is there anyone else we would know of?
Anne Curry. Anne Curry is the other one. Anne Curry's of them, though.
Anne Curry's from Guam?
Anne Curry's from Guam.
Cool.
It's interesting because we, as Oregonians, we claim you. But you were born in Guam.
Correct. So military family, grew up career military all over the world. I was a brat, a Navy brat. And we settled in Ashland, Oregon.
So what do you call home?
Here. I mean, I call Oregon home because it's the place I stayed the longest. It was one of the most formative, if not the most formative place in my life.
You're listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We can just get started. We don't have to banter about the disease that I just diagnosed myself with this morning.
Which one?
I've got a problem, Lindsay. Of like a fungus. It's sort of a, I don't know if you call it a fungus, but I've got something in my brain. It's a problem.
Wait, in your brain?
Yeah.
What is it? Is this a joke or is this a bit?
You know what's in my brain and I can't get it out, and I don't know if doctors have figured out a way to get it out.
What is it? No, get this out of here.
I can't get
Katy
this.
Perry is feeding Bobby crumbs and he's just lapping them up like a diseased raccoon.
I fully woke up, and as my eyes opened this morning, it's this electric. Is what I heard. No, I heard this as I woke up. My eyes open before my alarm and they just go boop.
So for those not in the know, that's the Katy Perry X Pokemon release. It's electric. She released a song with Pokemon. Like, I don't know how to tell you that. And it's iconic. No, it's interesting. No, it sounds like actually, it sounds like very much in the genre of Rise, her failed Olympic song that she also gave to the Democratic National Convention, and then she got in trouble for it. Like, and then the Olympics got canceled.
It was an Olympic song, and then it was a Democratic National Convention song, and then it just like fully became a cast off in the Island of Lost singles. Like, it's not on any album. Like, no one knows it exists. It's on my iPad.
And wait,
it's on my iPod.
Was it the Olympics that were last year that were canceled, or the Olympics before? No, it was before.
It wasn't the ones that were canceled.
It was a while ago.
No.
Right. And so the Olympics said, you can't just like give us a song and then give it to the Democrats. And she was like, oops. And so like Rise, which I did purchase on iTunes for 99 cents.
That's in my iTunes.
Also lived on my phone and would come on every time I turned on my car for years. Don't be surprised, I will still rise. So this is now the new inspirational themed Katy Perry semi-single, semi-spawn, you know, to go along with her announcing her Vegas thing as well. I mean, it's kind of side by side with that.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Dark Ariel's name was Vanessa. Crunch, crunch.
I just thought we should know that. Her name was Vanessa.
Great. Her name is Vanessa. Great. We've all met some Vanessas in our lives that are Dark Ariel vibes.
I was looking at the Little Mermaid fandom wiki for Vanessa, and it has her information, which it always makes me laugh. Cartoon character information. Character, Vanessa. Gender, female. Race, human. Occupation, saboteur. Status, deceased.
Does she have a 401k with that one?
It says family. Prince Eric, brief fiance, under hypnosis.
Oh, I'm sure when Christine Quinn puts on a dark wig, she also calls herself
Vanessa. She calls herself Vanessa.
I'm sure she also does that. So I would just watch out for Vanessa, you know?
When that baby gives birth, like, all of us, we're going to feel something.
She gave birth.
When?
Yeah. She did. She posted it.
When?
We don't know, but she gave birth.
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea she gave birth. I'm trying to look back on, like, if there was a period in the past few days that I felt particularly uneasy, and that must have been when the baby was born. Because it definitely sent out a vibration into the universe.
Well, you know, they reported that the seas rose another, like, inch or whatever.
Oh, okay.
You know.
An iceberg popped off a glacier up in the Arctic, for sure, right. When this baby was born.
Yeah, and the seas rose a little with the birth of this baby.
Hi, Bobby Lindsay. I had to pause the show while I was listening this week because while you guys were talking about Rita Ora and Bebe Rexha, Bobby said, just kind of slipped into the conversation, that Bebe did not dodge the question as artfully as she thought she had while talking about the artful dodger herself, Rita Ora, a.k.a. Twist. Yeah, I just thought that was a moment of pure poetry. In the words of Bebe Rexha, crunch, crunch.
We got so many calls that were mad at you, Lindsay, that were like, Lindsay, you didn't notice Bobby's great joke about Artful Dodger and the thing.
I don't think Bobby realized Bobby's joke about Artful Dodger.
I have no memory of saying that. I didn't know I was saying that. That was not intentional. But it makes me think that Rita has fully, like these are subconscious at this point. They're subconscious.
Trust me, listeners, if Bobby made a joke he wanted me to react to, he would tell me to react to it. So I wouldn't worry about me missing a joke, a fantastic joke by Bobby. He would say, oh, did you
catch that?
Did you catch that? My joke?
All right, do it over again. No, I want you to pay attention to what I said. Lindsay, could you pay attention to what I said really quickly?
Don't worry about my missing of these precious gems. If you miss them, maybe they're just Easter eggs for you.
For you. But that was funny. Had no memory of that.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I also watched the MTV Movie Awards, so I just wanted to call to let you know that Billy Porter and Charles Hansen have literally never worked together, and no one knows why he presented her that award. Godspeed, Bella Hadid. Crunch, crunch.
That's so funny. Really? But you said they were going to work
together. Well, they might. They might. It's not confirmed. They might work together in Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, so literally that it's like that was announced but hadn't been, but has not been filmed. So there's mm-hmm. no precedent for them for this. Not that like you have to be old friends with somebody to give them a fucking award at this point.
Come on.
But they did make it seem like, I mean, he was saying some things that were just like very nice that it's like, why would Billy Porter be out here like praising Scarlett Johansson? I mean, they were scripted too, but it was very strange. And it was also very strange that they were both virtual. I mean, I know that we still live in unprecedented times, but I was like, of all the awards to not show up for or figure out a way to be in person for, it seems like this is like a big linchpin of this like award show, you know, is this generational award.
Exactly. And wouldn't you specifically want to award to someone who is willing and or able to show up? This award is fake. You made it up. It's not even voted on. So like you can just pick someone who'll show up. You can pick someone who'll lift right. over to the venue.
It totally would have been even more awkward too if he was in person and she wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, or if she was in person and he wasn't. You kind of got to get two people who are in person. Mm-hmm. Why not get like her Scarlet Witch co-star or whatever, Florence Pugh to
Florence
do it
or
something
Pugh.
Like that,
Florence
like
Pugh,
to
yeah.
promo or something. I mean, I don't know. It was just a very strange moment in a very strange award show. So I'm not sure why I was so shocked.
But also, if there is in fact a connection, if this Little Shop of Horrors news is true, because he has been cast as Audrey too, but the rumor is that Scarlett is Audrey. But that isn't confirmed. And you would think that if that were the case, they would use this opportunity as the way to announce it, you know? But that didn't happen either.
Right. That feels like that could disintegrate. Like, mm-hmm. that type of announcement is always very much like people get replaced often. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, never forget Scarlett Johansson can sing. Her Tom Waits cover album.
Don't remind me of that album. I love that album so much.
Do you?
I love that album.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
She also has a really good album with Pete Yorn. Oh, it's good.
That's more embarrassing than It's Electric.
Unfortunately, it's really good. If you haven't heard Scarlett Johansson's Tom Waits cover album,
I
recommend it.
You're saying that like it's not your favorite album, and it is.
I don't even like Tom Waits, but I like Scarlett Johansson's Tom Waits cover album.
God, insane. That's insane.
I know,
insane.
I'm sorry.
That
I'm
defines
sorry.
You. Yeah.
I don't need to hear that Tom Waits voice. No. Ew, okay. No.
It's okay. I used to like She and Him, so we're on the same terrible page.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. I might be able to corroborate the Reuben Studdard ordering a Reuben sandwich. I was really into YouTube when I was a kid. Stay with me. And Mamrie Hart loved her, read her books, and in I think it was her first book. She tells a story about working in a music recording studio situation in New York City and was like an assistant and had to go pick up a Reuben sandwich for Reuben Studdard when he came by to record some music. So I guess it's not my story to corroborate, but I do remember that chapter, especially any time Reuben Studdard's name is said. So I just thought I would share to maybe add to this, just to add to this lore, this legacy. I don't know. Okay, crunch, crunch.
Not that we needed corroboration here, but we certainly got it. I think this is incredible that there's even more evidence of this Reuben connection.
So I found it. Thank you, Google Books, allowing me to search inside Mamrie Hart's book, You Deserve a Drink, Boozy Misadventures and Tales of Debauchery. It's an aside. And she says, luckily for me, my responsibility, she's talking about her time as an assistant. Luckily for me, my responsibilities weren't exclusive to answering the phone and ordering celebs lunches, parentheses. Hello, have you ever ordered American Idol Season 2 winner Reuben Studdard a Reuben sandwich? The man stays on brand. It happened.
Wait, and that's like such a crazy...
That's a weird aside.
Like, she didn't even do that as a joke. She meant, like, that's a real story.
That she actually did
it. I at first
it.
Thought she was about to tell a joke about ordering Reuben Sutter to Reuben Sandwich, but she is implying...
That she did it.
That that's real.
And it sort of seems like the kind of anecdote that, like, she really wanted to shoehorn in, so she did it in this parentheses, you know? She's like, this is too funny to not put in. Yeah, she had to put it in.
It's a perfect aside. So now we have the second occurrence of Reuben Sutter ordering a Reuben sandwich. And you know what? Two's enough for me.
Two's enough for me.
This will hold up in a court of law.
This was published.
I would take this to... Yeah, I would take
this. I know books aren't fact-checked, but this was published. And it has a quote from Melissa Rivers on the front, so I believe it.
We also have a call from our dear listener who we trust, you know, immensely.
I trusted the dear listener. I trust.
We have dear listener call. We have cited in a book. I guess that's just canon.
It's truth. It's truth.
Reuben ordering a Reuben.
Reuben likes Reubens.
Lindsay Bobby, I am catching up, listening to last week's caller episode, and you're talking about Wawa. And this is the most Western Pennsylvania erasure I've ever heard in my life. Yes, Wawa is big in Pennsylvania, but only on the eastern side of the state where Philadelphia is. It does not exist in Western Pennsylvania where Pittsburgh is. To say it represents Pennsylvania, an absolute slap in the face. And I say this to someone from Pittsburgh who now lives in Philly. I'm so disappointed in you. Crunch, crunch.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
But it's in East Town then. That's all that matters.
Mary's
Easttown,
in Easttown. She's not in Westtown. And also,
last I checked,
like, we meant culturally representative, not physically representative. I know you guys have, like, sheets out there and stuff like that. Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-Z. And also, Western Philly is practically in Ohio. Don't piss on my face and tell me they're all the same state, you know? Piss on my face and tell me it's raining. That's what I was trying to go for there.
Isn't it usually a leg? Don't you piss on a leg and tell you it's raining? Just wondering.
Wait, it's leg? It's not face?
I'm pretty sure it's...
Yeah,
piss
I guess
on
so.
My leg, raining.
I don't think anyone says piss on my face and tell me it's raining. Wow, I just like kinked it up, did I? Didn't I?
It's either foot, leg, boots. Although I am seeing someone say face. There's a book on Amazon written by someone named Tina Perisalt called Piss in My Face and Tell Me It's Raining.
Is that a sexy book?
I think it's maybe a sexy book.
Oh.
Or a sad book. It might be a sad book.
I guess you wouldn't piss on somebody's face and tell them it's raining. I guess that's like a little bit too intimate.
Okay.
Okay, so now I've learned it's piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Next call. Let's move on to questions. Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear. Because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365 day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/who.
Chris Angel is opening a fast casual restaurant called Cabalp. C-A-B-L-P. It's short for Chris Angel's Breakfast, Lunch, and Pizza. Please discuss. Crunch, crunch.
Lindsay Bobby, why is Chris Angel opening a restaurant with such an unoriginal name and assortment of things? Crunch.
Hi, Who Weekly. Chris Angel's Breakfast, Lunch, and Pizza.
Hi. Can you tell me what the name of Chris Angel's new restaurant concept is? Godspeed, Bella Hadid.
Who is Chris Angel and why is he opening a fast casual restaurant called Kablip?
Okay, but how do you pronounce Chris Angel's new restaurant? Kablip? Kalp? Crabapple, which is the only word that comes up in my head when I see the name written down. I don't know. Thank you. Crunch, crunch.
As you can tell, we had one. This was the big topic of the week. Many calls about Chris Angel's breakfast, lunch, and pizza. His new restaurant experiment. It's pronounced Kablip. Per Eater, per the story, beyond just if you click Kablip, the headline that went viral, you will see the pronunciation in the lead paragraph. It's pronounced Kablip.
It kind of tracks because it's like kablam, kablap, kabloom, which is what
kind of,
which
is kind what, of is doing a lot of work there.
It's what magicians say. You know, they say like ta-da or kablip. I saw Chris Angel live.
Did he say kablip?
Did he say kablip? He didn't even really say like ta-da or anything.
It's like abracadabra, you know? Cadabra.
Abracablip. No, it's kablip because it's Chris Angel's breakfast, lunch, and pizza.
What is blowing my mind is that he has another vowel right there. And breakfast, lunch, and pizza. It could be kablap.
Kablap.
Oh, well, that sounds so much worse than kablip. And now that I'm thinking about it, speaking of the last call, I'm out here making fun of Kablip, and there is a incredibly successful business called Wawa, like one state away.
Don't bring up Wawa, please. It's dramatic.
I'm like, what a bad idea to call your restaurant Kablip. And meanwhile, Pennsylvanians are out here like going to Wawa 8 times a day.
Only Eastern Pennsylvanians are going to Wawa eight times a day. Only the mayors of East towns are going to Wawa's.
But at least there are some vowels.
I also am like, you know, it draws attention to the name, I guess. I mean, if he put a dash in between ka and blip, people would know to say kablip, you know? Mm-hmm. But he refused to do that. Also, my question is breakfast, lunch, and pizza. You could eat pizza for breakfast or lunch, so it almost feels a little bit redundant to say breakfast, lunch, and pizza. Is pizza the dinner? No dinner, just pizza?
I think there's a way of interpreting it that way, but there's also a way of interpreting it like he understands that pizza is a universal food, that it's a time agnostic food.
Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
Sure.
Breakfast, lunch, and pizza, because he knows that you can get pizza whenever you want it.
Let's just read the origin of this briefly, just because it is kind of funny. Angel discovered the restaurant while dirt biking with his family in the Moapa Valley near Valley of Fire State Park. So wait, he like a dirt biked past this restaurant and was like, I must have that? But he didn't dirt bike past Chris Angel's breakfast, lunch, and pizza. Because that would be, he doesn't own it yet, so we didn't call it that. He dirt biked past like a different restaurant or like a building that used to house a restaurant.
Eaters pulling the story from the Las Vegas Review Journal. Again, support your local newspaper. They went to this place to dirt bike and he fell in love with the area. And in the area,
no offense, there's a restaurant. Eater, but you really turned that into a confusing, made that confusing.
And so then he started going to this place called Sugar's Home Plate in Overton. And he was like, I love this place. This is like this homey, lovely place. And when they were like, well, we're selling it, we're done here, he was like, well, I want to buy this because he had such a good time at this place.
So he's reopening this restaurant that he loved as Kablip.
Kablip. And he said, breakfast will include Srito Yanni's French toast, named for his two-year-old and made with cinnamon bread, as well as pancakes, Belgian waffles. Yes, he's Greek. A Western omelet and breakfast sandwiches.
He's Greek and he's running it with his brother, Costa, who did run their father's restaurant in New York for years, and a pizza guy, a special pizza guy named Mike Baram, who owns a pizza shop in New Jersey. So maybe they're like, let's bring like New Jersey pizza to Vegas. And create like a mix of like what was here before with a little bit of some fast casual pizza.
With the burger called the Mind Freak, you know? Do you
like
know what's on the Mind Freak?
Gut Freak. What?
Cheddar, barbecue sauce, and beer battered onion rings. I'm in.
Exactly.
I'm in.
More like my dietary tract freak. More like hand me the Tums. You freak?
Guess what he calls his Italian ice?
What?
Guess. Just you can put the pieces together.
Chris Ice, Angel Ice, Chris, Magic Ice, Ice, Ice Couplet.
Think about mind Freak, but in terms of a cold beverage.
Mind Freeze.
There you go. It's called the Mind Freeze.
Wow, that's cool. I want to go.
You know what he said about the Mind Freeze?
Uh-huh.
Quote.
What'd he say?
It'll be served magically smoking. So it's probably going to have like dry ice on it.
That's cool. Okay, don't eat the dry ice.
The more I read about this place, the more I have to go to Overton, Nevada.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I also thought I had to see Criss Angel on Broadway. And let me tell you something. I did not have to see Criss Angel on Broadway. So maybe we can apply those rules to this fast casual restaurant in the middle of nowhere, Vegas. I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. But I love giving back to the place that you live. That's pretty cool that he's thinking outside the box. The box being the strip.
He's out here creating jobs, please. Criss Angel, job great creator. Guy.
Criss Angel, job creator. Exactly.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. I'm calling because my Twitter timeline is going nuts over a photo of someone named Lee Pace, who I guess just got vaccinated, which is great. But who is this man? Thank you so much. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
I also got a Who is Lee Pace in a group chat, and I was like, oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
But
it's not surprising.
Really? You're not surprised that somebody no. was like, who is Lee Pace? Or these, a lot of people are like, who is Lee Pace?
I'm not surprised at all.
Uh-huh.
He's in so many low-key things.
He's low-key.
I mean, obviously, he's, like, extremely hot, but it's also, like...
He's hot.
He looks almost fake. You know, like he looks like a like he was molded to be a Hollywood star, but it never really happened.
Do you think it's like gay guys know who he is? Yeah. And also like theater people know who yes. he is because that's, he's think, like a very exactly theatery actor. So it's like exactly it really is a niche. He's a niche guy. But I do also do think that Halt and Catch Fire, which I would say is maybe the thing he's been on for the longest and most kind of has the biggest role in, right?
I mean, it lasted longer than Pushing Daisies, you know? So, yeah.
Right. I mean, it only lasted like 3 seasons, Halt and mm-hmm. Catch Fire, 3 or 4 seasons or something. I mm-hmm. loved it. So you would know him from that. But it's like, yeah, but even it's funny because his counterpart in that, the what's her face, the redhead, who was also in Black Mirror and has and Terminator. What's her name?
Oh, Mackenzie Davis. Yeah.
Yeah. She also kind of is still on the line mm-hmm. of
exactly
in the way that he is as well. I think she's maybe a little bit more mainstream because of Terminator, but he was in The Hobbit. He was in Lee Pace, like has had moments where he dips into mainstream, but he's not like The Hobbit in The Hobbit.
Right. The Hobbit's about The Hobbits. The Hobbit was the sort of low rent cousin of Lord of the Rings, even though it made like right. $1 billion. No one was there to see right. Lee Pace. And also when you're in The Hobbit, you're in insane makeup and costuming. You don't look like yourself.
And also like, I couldn't tell you who Lee Pace played in The Hobbit. It's not like he played anyone I could name. Which
I think he was an elf. I mean, look at him. He was an elf.
Right. Interesting. But he does. Interesting. I mean, he's always good. I mean, I think he's like.
He's good.
He's an actor's actor in that way where he's like.
Boy, is he good. Like, yeah, right. No, he's good.
Aside from being just like hot, like he's not like. I'm not lusting over him like I am Henry Cavill in a mustache, but he's very attractive.
But it's just very funny. The last time
here comes the police to take me away
God.
For saying Henry Cavill in a mustache. Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Okay. So if you'll remember, the last time that he kind of went viral just for a photo is because of that boat photo, which I think we've talked about on this podcast.
Hubba hubba.
Whenever he reminds people that like, oops, I'm hot, and there's a picture of him like sitting on a boat, but in the most provocative way imaginable. And everyone and that went viral and people were like, who is this guy?
It is kind of crazy that he's not more famous just for being hot. Like mm-hmm. I'm sure he turns down stuff all the time. I have a feeling he does. Because I do think he gets like a lot of offers for stupid shit that he could do and be more famous, but he doesn't do it. He seems like one of those guys and to me.
And also, he was in 3 Hobbit movies. He was in a Marvel movie. He was in one of those Guardians of the Galaxy movies. He's making good money. You know, he can pick and choose what he wants to do.
And he's theatery, so he'll do like, you know, he was in The Normal Heart and he was in Angels in America.
Angels in America.
And I do think that he kind of maybe steers away from big Hollywood stuff when he can, right? I mm-hmm. mean, again, Halt and Catch Fire, which was not a huge show, was kind of his main, one of the bigger roles that he's played in terms of like longevity and kind of like attention on him. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting. And people will say, oh, he's so good at Pushing Daisies. Pushing Daisies is one of those shows that no one cared about at the time, but now in retrospect, people love instead
kind it.
Of bring up because it's really interesting and good. But at the time, and
no one watched it.
Yeah.
I never watched it. I still haven't watched it.
It's so cute.
People
it's
love
so
it.
It's so cute. It's so freaking cute.
So the other thing about Lee Pace is that he's gay, but it's not something that he really talks about much because he's extremely private, you know?
Mm, yeah.
And he's also like kind of been outed many times. The first time that it happened, he kind of didn't respond to it. And it wasn't until he was interviewed by W Magazine and they sort of matter-of-factly referred to him as gay. And he was like, well, I don't really talk about this. Then he sort of came out more openly.
Right. And he's like, I'm literally in the Normal Heart and
Angels in America
too. Like, you know, clearly he's not hiding the fact that he cares about
LGBT representation, yeah.
And all that. Yeah. And representation, all that. Yeah.
Do you know who, I mean, quote unquote, outed him the first time?
Who?
Yeah. Can you guess?
No.
Okay. So this is an actor who's in the Hobbit films very famously and the Lord of the Rings film. Also gay, Ian McKellen. Sir Ian McKellen. This is from an interview for the Hobbit movies. And the interviewer says, still, there are hardly any colleagues who follow your example, right? As in like being openly gay and in the movies. And Ian McKellen says, I would say that a lot has been done in this regard in the last 10 years in this industry. Just look at how many openly gay actors in The Hobbit there were. Two of the dwarves, then Luke Evans and Stephen Fry, Lee Pace, and The Lord of the Rings, I was the only one. And there was my makeup artist and someone on the wardrobe team. That's progress, oh right? God.
So he didn't even know that Lee Pace wasn't really
out. Yeah, he didn't
out
know.
In the Hollywood sense. Can't be mad at Ian McKellen for that, though, to be honest. It's like,
I know. If anyone's going to drag you out of the closet, it may as well be Ian McKellen.
Right, and it's not even like the quote he gave was this like malicious thing. Like, he was literally being like, no, there's so much representation in these rooms. Like, it's really cool. I love it. It's like two dwarves, you know, it, like he's name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently, he's in an Apple Plus series called Foundation that's coming out this fall. So I'm interested to see that. Otherwise, okay. It is interesting. His IMDb known for is like nothing that people actually know him for,
no,
aside from,
fall?
I guess, The Hobbit. But it's like
The Good Shepherd,
Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, he was not really in that.
You're not even on the poster, man.
Yeah. So it is like what he's quote unquote known for is more obscure.
Mm-hmm.
More obscure. Known for being a hunk.
But in case you were wondering, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, his IMDb biography does call him one of the most versatile actors working in Hollywood today. So I just thought that'd be important to know.
It called him verse? Cool. Great.
In case you were wondering, I don't know, it's right there in black and white.
I wasn't.
Next call.
So Christine Quinn and Christian named their baby Christian. Jason Derulo named his baby Jason Derulo. Celebs are really slacking in the baby name department lately, and I would just like to know what's going on. Bennifer is back. Crunch, crunch. Love you guys.
The reveal.
The reveal, Christian.
Christian, that's her husband's name.
And then Jason Derulo, of course, now famously named his baby that
Jason
he had with his
Derulo.
TikTok dancer girlfriend, Jason Derulo.
I would argue that actually Jason Derulo naming his baby Jason Derulo is one of the most immensely creative and important baby namings of the 21st century. Are we in the 21st century still? 22nd
yeah, we are in
century?
The 21st century. We're in the 21st century. Yeah, there are 100 years, the centuries, yeah.
When are we out of it? You need to let me know so I stop saying 21st century.
We won't be alive. We won't be alive. Thankfully, okay. We won't be alive.
Oh, so for the rest of my life, it's 21st century.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
easy.
Need to think about this at
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm. You're a 21st okay. century woman, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, incredible. Okay, great. So, okay, great. So,
can you name, before we move on, I just, pop quiz, didn't tell you about this quiz. What's his girlfriend's name?
Jenna Frooms.
God damn it.
It's literally in the, I've looked at this for hours.
Okay, good.
Yes, Jenna Frooms, she's a fitness influencer. Jason Derulo is Jason Derulo, named their kid Jason. Actually, his middle name is King. It's Jason King Derulo.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's what they can call him, King. Because like they can't, like, if two Jasons is confusing, two Jason Derulos is even more confusing.
If you think Jason Derulo is not going to call his kid Jason Derulo, you are out of your mind.
Jason Derulo, like all the time, just like this little baby. He gave his son the most important name to him, Jason Derulo. He gave him the many, many singings of his own name, Jason Derulo. He passed that down to his son.
Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo.
Jason
Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo.
Kind of inspiring, kind of heartwarming. Not inspiring, kind of heartwarming.
I was sort of like, why does he always say Jason Derulo? Like, is there a reason behind it? And he talked about it in a cursed place on Ellen last year.
We talked about it in a cursed place. Sorry, it's like, that's like what I thought about. Yeah. You could say cursed place. Some people say cursed, you know?
Cursed. Yeah, you got to be two-syllable cursed is
he
a more powerful
about
cursed.
It in a cursed place. Yeah, okay, that works.
And he said,
you're known for singing your name at the beginning of songs. You stopped doing that for a little while, and now you're doing it again. Why did you stop, and why are you doing it again?
Well, it's a bigger hit if I sing my name at the front, you know, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I had to, you know, bring that back. And I was actually wondering why other people didn't sing my name at the front of their songs as well, because it works so well for me. They should sing Jason Derulo at the front of their songs.
That's a pretty good bit. That sounds
written,
pretty
funny.
Whatever. That's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. My argument is like he's singing it because all his songs like sound the same or whatever, and it's like people don't know it's him. So it's like they're all just like CVS songs, and he has to, you know, remind everyone it's him.
Yeah, I read another interview with him that he said he kind of did it as a joke, and then the joke just became something he couldn't stop. It is funny.
It is funny. And if anyone's like good at leaning into jokes about them, it's
Jason
this
Derulo.
Guy, because he loves to take a meme about himself and like drive it into the ground.
Mm-hmm. He named his baby his own name.
I mean, it is kind of, you know, perfect in a way.
Although it's slightly different because Jason Derulo's legal name is that
is
French Derulo. But the kid's name, I think, now just has the last name Derulo.
I think basically Jason has changed his name to Derulo versus
Derulo.
Oh,
like probably got legally, yeah.
Right. I don't know.
Derulo. Derulo. Okay. Yeah. Next call. Love it. Congrats, Jason and Jenna.
Jenna Frooms.
Hi, long time, too much. Just calling with a Lifetime Holiday Movie update. Monique Coleman and Corbin Blue are starring in a Lifetime Holiday Movie called A Christmas Dance Reunion. They are famously one of the couples from High School Musical. So, it's very exciting news. Just thought, are they who's, them's? I feel like they're definitely who's. Maybe Disney them? All right. Crunch, crunch. Me and Grace. Tim Tebow, lesbian. Bye.
It's late May, so you know what that means. Lifetime is announcing their Christmas movies.
Yeah, I noticed that. It was on my calendar. And I said, oh, the Christmas movies are probably rolling out soon.
They're the second tier couple because you've got Zach
out
and
of
Vanessa,
to
right?
Reunite. We're running out of like possible couples from old movies to reunite. I swear to God. I mean, it is still the season of the reunion if you're going to reunite these two from High School Musical movies. And they're not even like romantically involved in those movies, right? They're just both in the movies. Or am I wrong?
They are romantically involved. Yeah.
They are in the movie? There were three High School Musicals.
There
two
were
high
three.
Musicals?
There were
three.
Two that were on Disney, and then there was one that was in theaters.
And now there's High School Musical, the musical, the series. But we don't. That's not canon, really. I mean, it is canon, but it's not really canon to me in terms of my enjoyment of the movies. They wrote them a new movie. They're going to be in it together, romantically involved. It's on Lifetime. And then they're like, what do we call it to tell people that this is a reunion? Oh, let's call it A Christmas Dance Reunion. It's like, we get it. We freaking get it. These two are reuniting. And if you don't know what from, you'll have to just look it up, you know? Meanwhile, I did not know Monique Coleman was 40 years old.
She's 40 years.
How old was she in High School Musical?
Old.
25? 30? Like,
she was 25 in High School Musical.
Playing a 16-year-old.
And everyone else was like 18, 20-ish.
Right. So she was a little older, yeah.
Her story, the description of the movie A Christmas Dance Reunion is, in A Christmas Dance Reunion, successful attorney Lucy Mortimer Coleman, along with her mother Virginia, Kim Roberts plays her mom, return to the Winterly Resort to help celebrate the hotel's final Christmas season before the resort closes its doors permanently. Oh my God, haven't we seen this already? Once there, Lucy is reunited with the owner's nephew and her childhood Christmas dance partner, Barrett Brewster. Corbin Blue.
Come on.
Though the resort has fallen on hard times and has stopped most holiday events, Lucy leads the charge in recreating her beloved Christmas traditions, including the popular Christmas dance, to bring together new families and new hope to the resort. And now, here's the conflict. She must decide if she's willing to take a risk on love and partner up once more with Barrett for what could be the last Christmas dance.
How is that a conflict?
It's an internal conflict, Lindsay. It's an internal conflict.
Also, why do like real names sound real and fake names sound fake? That's a real question we need to think about.
Barrett Brewster. Well,
why do you think that fake names sound fake and real names sound real? I'm just saying. Why?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Why does Bobby Finger sound real and Barrett Brewski
does
fake?
It? I'm sorry. Does it?
Yeah, it's true. Okay, I guess. What's her name again? Like Lucy Window? Like it's
Lucy
just crazy.
Mortimer. Lucy
okay,
Mortimer.
Okay, fine. That's a fake name. Right.
Yeah. Well, this unfortunately, this news is overshadowing the other Lifetime holiday movie announcement, Blending Christmas, which is a Hayley Duff joint.
Blending what?
She's blending Christmas. They have to blend families.
Oh, like a blended Christmas.
He's
Got
dating
it.
Someone. She has kids and she's dating someone who has kids. And
wow,
they go to a resort.
Tale as old as time. Tale as old as time.
I was what I thought was interesting, I was scrolling through all of her Instagrams. And she has a very specific subset of celebrities who are commenting on all of her Instagrams.
Right,
and would you like to know who those people are? Here's a selection of the people who are commenting on Monique Coleman's Instagrams. Francia Raisa. Okay. Think about the level of celebrity. And all of these people are just about at the exact same level. Allison Stoner, the dancer. Christy Carlson Romano. Got some Disney action.
Kim Possible.
Exactly. Dr. Holly Hatcher Frazier, who was one of the Dance Moms moms.
Okay.
The less problematic Dance Moms moms. You know, Abby Lee Miller's like a nightmare Dance Moms mom.
Sure, but she was the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Of course.
Rudy from Cosby's.
Yes.
Alexis Wren.
Oh my God, the like sexy model who dated. The sexy model, who dated, what's his face? The not Hulk.
Noah Centineo, yes. Centineo. And then Kenny Ortega.
Of course, High School Musical choreographer.
And then the last one I thought was really interesting. Lindsay, you know who was the top comment on her spawn for FabFitFun?
No, how would I know that?
Just guess.
Corbin Blue?
No, I'm sorry. It was Corksicle, the brand Corksicle. Because Corksicle was one of the featured products in the FabFitFun box the day she was doing promo. Yeah.
Incredible. Just incredible reveal.
I guess we'll be watching it over the holidays next year. So when do these movies air? September?
Wake me up. Wake me up when this movie premieres.
From people.com, this is us, Justin Hartley and Sophia Pernas are married. One, who is Sophia Pernas? Two, what does Chrishell feel about this? I'm obsessed. I need to know a timeline. I need to know if this was pre the person that he left Chrishell for. Please tell me everything about this. Also, Wawa is a them and Bucky's wishes it was Wawa. All right,
Okay, we're disregarding the tail end of that.
If the Wawa discourse doesn't leave the podcast, I'm going to forcibly remove it. it's time to go, okay? Justin and Sophia Pernas, I guess the reveal that they're married is hilarious because they were at the MTV Movie TV Awards, and we were like...
Day one. Sorry, they were at the scripted one.
Sorry, they were at day one of the MTV TV and Movie Awards, and it was like their red carpet debut or something. I don't know. We were like making fun of that. And then it turns out that they're secretly married, which came out later after, of course, we taped the podcast. And so now it's like, oh, we have to reckon with the fact that they're secretly married.
And he's like public enemy number one at this point.
Well, I mean, I think it's funny because Chrishell became this darling of like, this celebrity darling in a way where I don't think that was expected by anyone. And he's just like on This Is Us. I think people really like him too, but her response to their breakup was so honest and kind of
really sad,
heartfelt and sad. And again, vulnerable and all of that, that you could not help but be on her side about it all.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets back with this woman that he starred with on Young and the Restless, like an old friend, which is kind of a little shady considering the situation of their breakup.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, my old friend, Sophia Pernas, who I've always been flirty with. We had chemistry. Let me go back and date her.
This is not the sort of thing we can answer definitively whether or not she is the reason that they broke up. But that's like the obvious assumption, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, according to The Insider, the Illinois native reconnected with Pernas after his marriage to Chrishell imploded. She has not addressed him being married again, to be fair to her.
Referring to Justin Hartley as the Illinois native seems kind of perfect. That's like all I need to know about Justin Hartley.
It's what he deserves.
The Illinois native. We don't need anything about his actual skills or his like resume.
Chrishell is, you know, she's just doing what she's just doing everything right now. She's living it up.
Mm-hmm.
And Selling her new Sunsets. Speaking of Dark Vanessa and Chrishell, that show is filming again.
Davina still has not sold that house.
And I don't think she ever will because she's not on the show anymore. So that house is never getting sold. If Davina can't sell it, no one's selling it.
Exactly. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers for years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Who the fuck is Ariana Grande's husband, whatever, Gomez? I have never heard of that man. How is she married? Anyway, me and Grease. Bye, my gay boys.
How is she married?
That's like a perfect response.
Who the fuck is whatever his name is, Gomez?
How is she married?
Well, it's actually quite easy for people to get married.
Yeah.
We've talked about him before and he's so boring. He's a real estate agent, y'all.
Also, for our purposes, this is for our purposes only. It sucks that she got secretly married in a small wedding to the boring boyfriend, you know, like after kind of a slew of famous exes, Big Sean, Mac Miller, Pete Davidson, all of this. She dates this like normie who like, right, I'm sure this was the right answer because of the fact that he's such a normie, and then marries him in like a wedding of 20 people. How is that fun for me? Yeah. Not fun for me.
I saw a tweet that said he looked like Pete Davidson, but started
in a different font. He doesn't really look like Pete Davidson. No. That was just a picture where they both are making the same
the
face.
The same smile. They have the same mouth.
Pete Davidson looks like Steve Buscemi more than he looks like Dalton Gomez. But Dalton Gomez, who is he? A real estate agent? She met him like through her manager, he sold her manager's house or something?
Well, his boss sold Ariana her house. So it was the same real estate company, but apparently that's how they met. But also he's like young and cool and friends with people like Miley Cyrus. They have a lot of mutual friends who are famous. So he's in her circle. That's like what the sources always say. They're in the same social circle. But what I find endlessly weird and truly weird, not just like, oh, some like private people, not everyone has a internet presence, like I get that, like I understand that, but it is absolutely maddening to try to find out about this guy because there's nothing about this young cute real estate agent who has been called a dancer in the past too. So apparently he tried his hand at dancing in the past, but it's like there all the information is gone.
How is it possible that this person is so quote unquote off the internet when he was in the entertainment industry and trying to make that work for at least a small amount of time?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there? How was that scrubbed? Or, like, how did he stay so under the radar? Maybe all of these, like, he was a dancer or whatever is not as true or not. He didn't get very far or I don't know. Like, you're right. It just seems very...
And I even did... I don't love doing it all the time because it can be toxic, but to look at a lot of gossip message boards about people to find like stuff, because usually you find mm-hmm. like rumors that are just like not fun to talk about. But I was like,
people are also very good at finding.
They're the Carrie Mathesons, yeah. But I was like, I got to go to all these, you know, your go to gossip blogs, gossip message boards, and Reddits to see if like the actual sleuths who are good at sleuthing found stuff about this guy, and I couldn't find anything there either. People. What you will find is just people being mean about the relationship and saying that they're going to get divorced in 4 months. You know, like, that's it. But he's a mystery. He's a mystery.
He's a mystery. That's pretty good. I didn't know that they lived in Montecito.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that until I read the TMZ report.
I thought it was like, oh, they got married at like Oprah's or Gail's mm-hmm. or like Meghan and Harry. You know, one of the many Montecito people, Ellen's. Mm-mm. But they have their own house in Montecito, too. Quote, both Ari and Dalton love Montecito. They spend a lot of time here. It seems mm-hmm. only natural that they would get married at Ari's beautiful and historic house.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they note it's Ari's house.
Mm-hmm. Even you'll find contradicting sources where they say they have mutual friends. They got together via mutual friends. And then someone says that they met via this real estate agent. So, like, we don't really know anything.
But there was gossip today about their prenup, which is actually interesting. Mm-hmm. So, where is this? This is from
the Naughty But Nice podcast.
What's his name? Rob Schuster. He's been around for a while.
Rob Shooter.
Rob Shooter's Naughty But Nice podcast. That's where this came from. And it says, Ariana Grande surprised the world with news of her wedding. However, behind the scenes, there was no surprise as lawyers have been working on an ironclad prenup for months. While the wedding seemed very last minute in her backyard with just close friends and family, legally, nothing was left to last minute. Ariana's lawyers were very involved in insisting that groom Dalton Gomez sign an ironclad prenuptial agreement. Insiders add that once the legal stuff was dealt with, the couple enjoyed a romantic day surrounded by hundreds of white florals and less than 20 close friends and family. Ariana's brother Frankie and her mom are very protective over her. They both love and trust Dalton, but even so, they would be stupid not to want her to get a prenup. Let's be honest, when somebody worth over $150 million, you have every right to be suspicious, but Dalton has won over. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. Fine. Good. Great.
I'm glad she got a prenup. Thrilled. Thank God. But of course she did. And I think that, there are multiple ways to read this where it's like, this guy's so mysterious. This guy, there's nothing about this guy. But there's also like, maybe this is exactly the type of guy she's looking for is after Pete Davidson. You know, someone who was so famous, the relationship that was so covered that it inspired not one but two albums. Like, two hit albums.
Yeah.
He defined two eras of her career, and she probably wants a little less attention.
But she did meet Dalton in COVID. Mm-hmm. Like, it really has been a very short
relationship.
Right at
the beginning of COVID, yeah.
So I also think it's very... For somebody who's young, it seems very fast to get married
mm-hmm.
in terms of not... You know, getting married young is one thing, but in terms of not knowing somebody that long and you're famous, I mean, this happened to, remember, Demi Lovato not so successfully. Demi Lovato and Ariana Grande are very different people, but I'm just saying to look towards their experience, it's like, okay, that clearly was that was a result of this kind of COVID being trapped together, this kind of intensified hanging out of it all, you know? So. Mm-hmm. I do think that I'm glad they have a prenup.
But also, like, it seems like he's stopped selling real estate because, as like we've all seen the headlines, like real estate's popping off. Everyone's buying houses. Houses are going like crazy. But if you go to his company profile at his real estate agency, Aaron Kirkman Group or Kerman Group, there's like a tab for all the real estate agents and you can click to see their active listings and recently sold listings. And I clicked his active listings. There are none. Then I clicked the sold listings and there are a lot there. But then when you click the most recent sold one and then you find the address and then I found that address on Zillow, I found that that house sold in October 2019. So he hasn't sold a house since October 2019. Which is about 5 months before.
He has sold a house with that real estate agency. So maybe he's elsewhere or he's doing it solo or
maybe,
whatever. But
maybe,
you're right.
Maybe.
I mean, probably has not sold a house since he met Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. Does not need to sell houses anymore mm-hmm. if he doesn't want to.
Let's just end this segment by reading the Vulture headline heard around the world by Zoe Haylock. Ariana Grande says, yeah, for life, marries quarantine boo Dalton Gomez.
Yeah, for life.
Yeah, for life.
Great.
Hi, Bobby, Lindsay. Long time. I'm calling because we read yesterday that there's going to be on NBC an American version of the Eurovision Song Contest. So that's especially hooey, but I'm wondering if it's because of the somewhat Vemmy Will Ferrell movie that this is coming to pass. So I would love your thoughts on it. And again, just because it's on NBC, I don't think that's going to make it a them TV show. And just, I would love if then after you discuss it, if some of your international hooligans would call in and let us know what they think. I feel it's going to be a barrage of anti-Americanism, but probably rightfully so. Okay, good for Bella Thorne. Bong Jovi. Love you, bye.
Bong Jovi is not a sign.
Bong Jovi, I like it though. So this is finally happening. We're so thrilled. I mean, we've been saying this needs to happen forever. Like, America's a hateful country and it's a competitive country. Those are the two things you need for Eurovision. Hey, I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
But like, as I'm watching this year's Eurovision, which is airing on Peacock, by the way, Peacock, you don't have to pay. Free Peacock.
Incredible.
Just download Peacock and you can watch the semifinals, which were... you can rewatch the semifinals from this week, which would have been aired today, which is Thursday. Now it's Friday for you. So yesterday
and Monday. This is not Peacock Spawn, by the way.
And Monday. Well, it might as well be. And then the finals are live on Saturday starting at 3 p.m. So you can literally just watch, tune in on Peacock, which is huge for us. I would argue that that is huger for me than than the Eurovision for the U.S., mm-hmm. which I'm excited about. But don't get me wrong. I still feel very like you can't compete with Eurovision. It's not going to be the same. Like
half a century of tradition, yeah.
It's just like the aesthetic of Eurovision is so specific to it that, you know, even though I will say the reveal of who's producing this was very promising because it's not just – it's the Ben Silverman Propagate, but alongside the producers who produce Eurovision. Mm-hmm. So it's – I'm going to pronounce some names wrong, but Anders Lenhoff, Peter Settman, and Krister Bjorkman, and Ola Melzig. So those are the producers who've made 20 Eurovision contests, basically. And mm-hmm. they bought the American rights themselves and then partnered with NBC/Propagate or whatever. I think – because Ben Silverman works mostly with NBC, right? Yeah.
I think so.
So they partnered with them to bring Eurovision to the United States. So there is going to be this like Eurocentric viewpoint from the producer's standpoint who have made this thing. But I almost feel like there's something that cannot be captured by us. Although, you know, obviously I'm here to see them try. I'm here.
I agree with you, but I also think I'm just going to add, I think this is going to be the biggest show of the year. I think this is going to be absolutely huge. I think because I remember when The Voice premiered, 10 years ago, and I was like, we don't need another one. No one's going to care. And of course, The Voice became a phenomenon and sort of unseated American Idol as like the competition singing show we all loved. Like, we love these competition shows, and this adds the most captivating, thrilling, contemptuous dynamic. Like, it's so much fun.
I wonder how they're going to do the local, because Eurovision is made up of all these kind of countries doing local competitions, like that each country has its own version of a local competition.
The specificity of this is going to be what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, it's true. The kind of songwriting to quote unquote represent the state is going to be interesting because it's going to be, I think some people are going to go super regional and some people are going to go super like kind
broad.
Of generalized pop, yeah. broad.
It's like, oh, I'll just do EDM. But it's like every sort of genre of music where you talk about like regional differences, where you talk about like Southern rap as opposed to like New York rap or like Seattle grunge or like Tejano music but like specific country, you know, like all of these things are going to come into play. It's going to be so cool. And then you have like,
I hope so.
I think it's going to be really, really fun.
Cause you know, America or the US is like where a lot of kind of popular music comes from now. Like, where a lot of the pop stars are from. And like, it's US has a very big effect on like the international scene of music, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. just how it is. So, but you almost want Eurovision to kind of exist, or sorry, America Vision to exist mm-hmm. in a place where there are is no popular music, because the idea that Eurovision lives outside of popular music is what is so appealing of it. It doesn't, you know, Flo Rida appearing is the closest we get to any sort of reference to popular music.
They're Eurovision songs. They're not pop songs.
The almost obscureness of this local regional music, I want that for the Eurovision US too. I don't want to see Katy Perry. Not that I would. If it's, oh my God, who's her writer?
Bonnie McKee.
American Girl. If we see Bonnie Key represent California, that'd be sick. I want that type of like weird, obscure, like, yes, she's written huge pop songs, but in a way she is representative of like the music business in its essence, where she's this like hustling songwriter who tried to make it as a pop star and didn't make it. You know, like that is, we want stuff like that. People we don't know. I don't want people I know.
You want like an old lady from Arkansas. You want like a kid in Nevada. Like you want you want all these different types of people. And I think another thing that's kind of freeing about this format is that like so many of these shows are about finding big stars, like The Voice. Who's going to be the next big star? Who's going to be the next big American Idol? And we know that that's bullshit. We know that most of the time they don't become immensely famous. But like this takes away that pretense. And it's like, this is about the music. This is about the stage.
That's true.
We're not going to try to pretend. Right. We're not trying to pretend that
contest.
The winner is going to be crazy famous. We're just saying it's state versus state, and it makes it more primal and like exciting. Yes. Like,
and the winner is going to be Delaware. It's not
going
to be the singer, or it's going to be it's going to be the song,
right.
And it's going to be I think that's what's way more special, because I think people have come become disillusioned with The Voice and maybe American Idol because they don't produce winners that really go on to anything, where it feels like what is the point of these shows, you know? But it also just shows that we're, what is it called? It's too full of stuff. It's we're oversaturated. Oh my God. Thank you. We're oversaturated with this type of thing. And did you notice The Voice is going to just two times a year or whatever, seasonal? It's not going year round. Like even The Voice knows, or even like these, they know that it's like, it's not as special if it happens all the fucking time, you know?
And I think that if it's not huge, someone fucked up, because this is the thing that saves network television. You know, like, the thing that keeps
NBC
afloat.
You're not saying that. Wow, Bobby is like, wow.
This I've been wanting this forever.
Fucking hire us as consultants.
It makes
propagate.
So much sense. The way, like, the dynamics of this country, as messy and problematic as they are, it creates the perfect environment for this sort of thing. You know, for better or worse, it creates the perfect environment for this sort of show.
So, Ben Silverman, hire us to consult on this project. We would obviously kill it. And also, this is promo because Eurovision is on this weekend. You should watch it, because there's no excuse not to. It's literally free on Peacock. And we're going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it on Patreon. So maybe take that Peacock money and just give it right to the source, so you can hear us talk about Eurovision and how great it was. We'll be doing that for Friday's episode of the Patreon as the lead up to the finale.
It'll come out like over the weekend, but
yeah.
And then we'll probably talk about the finale next week, because how could we not? But we're going to silo the Eurovision European edition on the Patreon. But with that, I think we're done with the show today, right? We're not going to talk about Bette Midler's daughter marrying the Guinness man?
I mean, I think you literally just said it. Like, that's everything.
Someone called and was like, did Bette Midler's daughter marry into the Guinness family? The answer is yes.
Yeah. She's part of noble already. Her father's a Hasselberg German noble. So she found herself a Guinness.
She found herself a Guinness. My goodness, my Guinness. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Who's There, our weekly call-in show. Call in at 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. Thank you to Katie and Erica, who's providing the Rita theme song on Tuesdays. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
What magicians say, you know, they say like ta-da or kablip.
Hi, this is really embarrassing, but who is Leanne Rimes? Like, I don't know, she just came up on my For You page, and like, I just have no idea who she is. I'm guessing she's an actress, like from the 90s. I don't know, she's also 8% Irish, which, you know, whatever. All right, bye.
Hi, Who Weekly, long time. So, why does everyone think Dear Evan Hansen is gay? I don't know if Ben Platt is Evan Hansen or the other guy, but he is gay, but his character is not. And it, even like news outlets think it's gay. It's just, it's confusing me. I want to know where this confusion came up. Also, is he a who or a them? Thank you. Women don't belong in balloons.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Is H.H. Holmes a who or a them? Good form, Bellathorn.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. I just wanted to let you know that I'm currently grading portfolios for my first year writing students in college. And so they're putting together a portfolio and stuff for their final project. And one of my students decided to quote Lily Reinhart at the top of her portfolio as a meaningful message to guide her writing process. Does this elevate her to a them? What an influential figure. Okay, thanks. Forkin.
Happy Flame Friday! Crunch, crunch!